Kenosha Sports Extra, the podcast. Welcoming back to the program, he is a nationally recognized IDP expert, one of the driving forces behind DraftSharks.com, of which you can see on the Kenosha Sports Extra website by hovering over Shark Bites and taking a look at all of the up-to-the-minute fantasy news as we enter the fantasy playoff season. Please welcome back to the program, Matt Schaff, no relation. Matt, welcome back to Kenosha Sports Extra.
Thanks for having me, as always. Crunch time, of course. So important stuff that we got to go over now, not just the frivolous things we usually talk about.
Ain't that the truth? So before we even get going, and I don't know when I'll cut this thing loose, sometime during the week relatively early so people can hear your expertise, but how good was that Cleveland-Baltimore game the other night?
Surprisingly good. I couldn't believe how enjoyable a game it was.
And, you know, and of course, at the end of the day, the bettors are freaking out because because of the safety. But I don't think there's a lot of people who take into account the fantasy people who had some swings happen. Oh, no, they'll have the headlines about, oh, what a bad beat. It'll be on Scott Van Pelt. Where the hell's Matt Barry? What about, hey, how about a headline for, yeah, and you know what? There was a lot of football, fantasy football, that was affected by a game like that, and we get no love.
And right down to that very last play where if you played the Baltimore defense against the Browns, you finally got the safety to help out with the points in a game where they gave you surprisingly nothing, probably took points away from your lineup.
Yeah, it's crazy. So that was interesting. But certainly some unique scenarios out there. One guy from that particular game, for instance, like say you're going into your playoffs and you're kind of on the cusp of maybe I got a good MVS matchup, or maybe I want to think about, you know, this guy over here who maybe has, you know, Cole the Beast Beasley has a good matchup or whatever. The question that I have is, do you trust Jarvis Landry these days?
I think you have to trust Jarvis Landry. He's been kind of on a tear lately, at least the past few games, and he's been seeing over 30% target share for the Browns since Odell Beckham's knee injury. So, I mean, you know, I was going to say that last night was a down game, but it was only down slightly because his two previous games have been up so much. I mean, even against the Ravens, he caught 6 balls for 52 yards. So I think he's solid this week, especially if you're in a point per reception league, and probably in the top 36, no matter what the format.
You know, and it's kind of crazy because I look at your weekly rankings like they're literally the Bible all week, every week. And for those of you who don't subscribe, you really, really need to think about Draft Sharks because I am absolute living proof that, you know, I'll consult. At the end of the day, I don't trust myself more than I trust Draft Sharks. And a perfect example this week was streaming the football team's defense and just rolling to victory in a very, very last game of the year, important ass-whipping victory for me. And that was just the right move for what I needed to do. So the long and short of the story is, when you start to talk about 36, you know, he's a WR34, and you're like, you think about week 2, and you're like, okay, well, I'd love to have two, you know, number 12 and number 9, or number 1 and number 18, but as you get a little bit deeper in this thing, believe me, you're living and dying with 34s and 36s.
Yeah, that's the tough thing, is we argue through all these rankings spot by spot, at the beginning of the week, get them set. And then, you know, we'll keep having news come up. We'll keep finding new stats, new angles to the games. And then we don't stop arguing about them until it's Sunday morning most of the time and just kind of get everybody set. Because, you know, at some point you're like, well, why does it matter whether this guy's 40 or 41? But somebody out there is making a decision between, you know, Sammy Watkins and Devontae Parker and considering Rashard Higgins. So I definitely remind myself of that throughout the week, that every spot to a certain point, matters for somebody out there, for all the lineups that people are setting at this point.
See, and that's another thing that just doesn't get enough headlines. A guitarist is going to sit there and tune for 20 minutes, and everybody's going to say, oh, it's okay. He's a guitarist. He cares. He wants his music to sound just so. You think anybody's going to give a shit that Matt Schaaf is freaking out at 10:30 Eastern time to decide whether or not to rate one guy one notch higher than the other? And I wanted to tell you, I thought you were completely full of it with where you had Todd Gurley. I thought he was way too low this week, and you may actually have had him too high at 47.
Yeah, that guy seems like he might be broken now. He's like the running back 3 in Atlanta all of a sudden, even healthy in quotes.
Dude, I'm telling you what, I seriously think that anyone wearing the Falcon black is going on my do not draft permanent list. I am so sick and tired of one thing going through my mind every Sunday. Get up, Julio. Get up, Julio. Come on, dude. Get up, big man. You're all right. Shake it off. Rub some dirt on it. It's like, I'm so over that.
Yeah, the hamstring last week, kind of falling back into it, seemed to come out of nowhere. We thought he played the week before after missing a game with it, and then all of a sudden he can't play on it. You kind of hope that they just shut him down so you don't have to worry about figuring out whether to start him. But I want to see where the Falcons go after this season once they get a new coach. I want to see how much changes there and what it looks like heading into next year. But yeah, that team is aging quickly.
Talking to the great Matt Schaaf from DraftSharks.com. The football team. Who the heck do you count on for running the football around there this coming week? I mean, I think I got J.D. McKissic layered on my bench, and now with Akers and Taylor being where they are and, you know, Julio kind of teetering in that flex right now, I don't think J.D. McKissic is really in my conversation, but I bet he's in somebody's.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that you count on anybody, but if you're in a PPR league where the receptions really matter, J.D. McKissic's been pretty solid. He's just inside the top 24 for us in that format. So, I mean, we have him right now starting over somebody like DeAndre Washington, Damian Harris, James Conner, who's getting ridiculously used by Pittsburgh and has become somebody that for a while we couldn't bench. Now we can't start. So it's absurd to get to this point in the year and realize that you kind of have to include somebody like J.D. McKissic in starting range, who probably shouldn't be playing running back for anybody. But yeah, he is certainly in the picture this week. He'd be my first Washington running back, and then we'll see if we have Antonio Gibson back for next week. I mean, we'll see about this week. I don't think he's been ruled out yet, but it's seeming unlikely.
Now, let's talk a little bit about receivers, because I think that, if there is a X card, wild card factor in this whole thing, it's just such a larger pool to choose from. So to me, it's like, if you got to make hay somewhere, if you got to pick right, if you got to go long, and I don't know if I got this from you or if I kind of developed it myself, but like when people would ask us on the fantasy lunch and say, you know, who should I start, A or B? A lot of times A or B kind of jump off the plate at you, but sometimes they don't. And my follow-up question to that was always be, are you chasing or are you in a position of power? So, I mean, that to me always comes into play. So let's say a guy's chasing. Let's say a guy's chasing and there may be some options either on his bench or in some leagues, in what I consider a very good league that I am, you can still go get guys that can score every week on the waiver wire if you choose to go that route. If you feel like, holy cow, I got one bad injury and I'm so sick and tired of this guy getting me 4 points a week, I can't stand it. Anybody jump off the page at you in terms of receiver that is either a guy that might have been mired on somebody's bench for a while or might even be out there available?
So, like, somebody with more upside this week than usual, you mean?
Yeah, like, just, you know, somebody like, hey, it's week one of the playoffs, and I'd like to pull a rabbit out of my ass. Maybe who could I go get, or should I play that's mired on my bench because it's always just a risky play?
Well, I never would have guessed at the beginning of the season or any time in the offseason that Nelson Agholor would feel like a fairly safe start come week 15 of the fantasy season, but he's been operating like the Raiders' number one receiver lately. And I mean that usage, I mean that production that's kind of slowly happened, and then over the past month or so, he's really getting a lot of targets and producing decent numbers. So like, he's somebody that's inside our top 36 and starting for a lot of teams. He's caught 5+ balls in 3 of the past 4 weeks. They get a positive matchup with the Chargers, which, you know, again, summertime, I would have figured that the Chargers would be a matchup we avoid with a Raiders receiver, but now here it is, and it's an attractive matchup. So he's just inside the top 36. Marquise Brown is somebody that I cringe even talking about because he has let us down so many times this year. But he's got Jacksonville this week. And, I mean, at some point it just gets kind of ugly. And you're crossing your fingers and hoping somebody's going to do something. And he's in the range with guys like Sammy Watkins, Michael Pittman, Devontae Parker with a hamstring strain. So, I mean, in that context, you kind of roll the dice with Marquise Brown and hope that something like last night happens where Lamar Jackson runs out of the bathroom and throws him a game-winning touchdown.
After 3 horrendous drops, too. Holy cow, those were Marquez Valdez Scantling-esque drops. What do you think of the pack before we get too far into anything else? What do you think of the pack just in general? I mean, fantasy-wise, my buddy Johnny's got Devontae Adams, Derrick Henry, and Stephon Diggs to go with Lamar Jackson. Needless to say, he's lost one of his last 23 games, but the pack looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, there's somebody that doesn't need to listen to anybody's advice at this point. Their job is done by Tuesday.
Exactly.
I'm as surprised as anybody as to how well that offense has worked this year, because I was certainly not betting on Aaron Rodgers at draft time. He did not have a great year last year. You know, they seemed like a team that was kind of starting to head downward after I think they won more games than they probably should have given how their offense and defense were last year. So I've been surprised. The one thing that didn't surprise me is that A.J. Dillon has been a dud so far, because I never liked that guy.
You're an East Coast guy. What do you know about college football? Come on, dude. And while we're on it, what about Bobby Joe Tonyan? I mean, Robert Tonyan has, again, the aforementioned my buddy Johnny. Here's a good one for him. He's got Devontae Adams. So you don't, even with a high-powered offense, you're always a little bit wary about having two dudes from the same offense. And his other option is the unbelievably inconsistent Evan Ingram. What do you do?
I mean, I think that I'd be starting Tonyan anyway. I mean, they're certainly in a spot against Carolina where anybody can score. And the good thing is you don't need high volume from Tonyan, so you don't have to project Devontae Adams to not get the ball for the ball to get to Tonyan. He's still one that I don't think I've been able to appreciate in full this year, because I spent the summer hoping that this is going to be the breakout season for Jay Sternberger. So I'm still in the back of my mind, there's this block against Tonyan that I can't quite appreciate it. And then he comes out early in the season and tells us it's Tonyan instead of Tonyan, when I spent all, you know, the 2 weeks that I talked about him calling him Tonyan. So he still annoys me, but I would play him now, both because he's been good, better than I knew he was, and his quarterback has been wildly efficient.
The great Matt Schaaf. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, folks. We had none of this planned, and it's like this guy rattles this stuff off the top of his head as quick as I can get it out of my long-winded mouth, and that's why he's the best in the business, and that's why DraftSharks.com is the only place for me. Talking about the quarterback position, I mean, I had Dak Prescott sever his leg, and you'd put my relatively solid team into a little bit of a tailspin, but you can only play one quarterback, so it really only makes any sense to have two on your team, 12-dude league, you know, and somebody who's got, you know, say Lamar Jackson with a week 11 bye, he might not even have a backup quarterback and hope for the best type thing. So there were guys out there, and right at the cusp was like Derek Carr, the ridiculously inconsistent team of Matt Ryan was out there. You got Cousins, who spent quite a bit of time on the waiver wire. So, I mean, is there anybody, I guess, let's put it this way, is there anybody going into this stretch that you're really down on? Because I have a tendency to believe that the way the NFL's going, quarterbacks are going to be scoring points all over creation these last 3 weeks as teams really try to ratchet it up and get their playoff either standing or their playoff life berth. I think people are going to be throwing it all over creation. Is there anybody that you don't like in this stretch?
I mean, I wouldn't say that there's anybody that I strongly dislike. I guess Matt Ryan, among the guys that you mentioned, has been terrible lately. And Julio Jones, you know, we don't know if he's going to come back at all this season. So anytime that Julio Jones is out, Matt Ryan becomes a low-level QB2 as opposed to, like, QB1, QB2 fringe. So he's somebody that's well down our rankings right now, even before we know whether Julio Jones is returning. I mean, otherwise, it's like 20 deep at quarterback, and I'm looking at our rankings right now. I mean, Drew Lock at 21 is not somebody that I'm excited about, but he just had a 4-touchdown game last week. He's got a matchup with Buffalo that could turn into a shootout. It could have him trailing. I mean, it could be another multiple touchdown spot for him against a defense that's been vulnerable at times. So it's so deep is the problem, and that's why, you know, the big mantra is to not draft a quarterback too early. Because, as you mentioned, all those guys are still available. You can still go out there and find Kirk Cousins, Phillip Rivers, Derek Carr available in some spots right now, even after they've put up numbers. So it's deep. So I can't really name too many, you know, worthwhile guys that I'm down on. I'm as worried as everybody about Justin Herbert. I mean, he, after dominating for a while, has given us 4 down weeks. Like, but I say that, I don't know, I say that kind of with air quotes, because if we saw those 4 weeks just in the summer, knowing that he was a rookie heading into his first season, we'd be like, oh, that's an okay stretch. But it seems bad because he was so awesome before that. So I'm a little down on him in that I like Jared Goff better over the next 2 weeks. But Justin Herbert hasn't even been that terrible outside of the New England game. So I could see him rebounding and giving us, you know, top 12 quarterback weeks, at least this week and maybe next week against Denver.
Talking to the great Matt Schoff, no relation. For all our friends who have keeper leagues out there, maybe not so much somebody that you're really, really bullish on right now, but somebody that, because you pay so much attention to this, that you see in your crystal ball. And I'll give you my example that I talked to a friend of mine who is in a keeper league, and I'm like, the Lions are going to clean house. I don't think there's any question about that. And Mohamed Sanu and Roy Marvin Jones are both on and Amendola, I believe, are all on expiring contracts. When he got his second life at the University of Wisconsin, Quintez Cephas caught everything, and I mean everything. Why not take a little bit of a flyer on him now? You can keep him for a 9th rounder next year. Blah 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 blah. Anybody in your studies of everything week 15 stand out for you that this guy might not be great yet, but watch out for next year?
I mean, Jalen Reagor certainly got opportunity ahead of him in Philly. Hasn't done anything to make people believe in him now, but if you can stash him for like a double-digit round pick and a keeper, or, I mean, even try to trade for him in a dynasty league where somebody might be down on him. It's tougher there because somebody probably drafted him in round one. But, you know, it's always worth asking to see how much somebody costs in a format like that. Yeah, pretty much anybody in Jacksonville is kind of interesting because it's so wide open. Anything could happen next year. It's going to be a new coaching staff. It seems like it's probably going to be a new quarterback. So, I mean, these wide receivers have shown talent. DJ Chark and LaVisca Chenault, probably the top two options. But you could look to either of them as kind of a cheap buy or hold heading into next season. Debo Samuel has kind of let people down with his injuries, but assuming that he's healthy next year, he has flashed whenever he's been on the field, so he could be a stash kind of thing. It's the fun thing and the tough thing about that is the leagues vary so much in size and depth and what you can do and what's available that, like, plays that make sense for some people or targets that make sense for some people, that are like, others are like, oh, he's on my waiver wire. Should I pick him up right now? Like, yes, you should pick him up right now.
The great Matt Schoff, before we let you go, how have you done personally this year? I had 2 teams, 2 playoff teams, 1 a quick exit, unfortunately, for a very much an overachieving team who scored more than they did all year long on the average and still got beat by a team who just happened to hang a huge number. And then the one that I you know, I've really paid the most attention to, I start next week, number two in the best division, number three overall in the seed, have what I believe to be a winnable game, but it's in the hands of the fantasy gods now. And of course, I will be emailing you just to verify my lineup about six times. But how about the master? How did you have in a personal year?
Boy, I had a couple of teams that I was excited about in the Draft Sharks Invitational, which we just started this year, and the Pros versus Joes League for the FFPC. They started out looking like they would challenge for titles, but they were led by Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson in a super flex format. So it's where you can play two quarterbacks a week. So obviously the Dak Prescott thing hurt me. I had Justin Herbert, then Russell Wilson kind of tank. Justin Herbert has struggled lately, so those teams are kind of falling off. I've got another one in a deep IDP league that's looking like it's in good shape for the playoffs. So that's my main focus at this point. Overall it was a decent year. Nothing huge, nothing that I'm kicking myself too hard about.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you're the best that there is. I appreciate you always coming on with me whenever I ask you. DraftSharks.com, the great Matt Schaff, no relation. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Always good to talk to you, buddy. Take care.
All right.